Let us pray. May the words that I speak and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our salvation. Amen. So it's All Saints Sunday, and we sang one of my all-time favorite hymns since childhood as our opening hymn for all the saints, with that amazing text by William Howe and the glorious melody by Vaughan Williams. And of all the verses of that hymn, and there are many, and we negotiated, Eric and I asked that we cut a couple, but I had to give up then on another hymn that's coming up and give him the verses back. But the one that I like most is verse 4. O blessed communion, fellowship divine, we feebly struggle, they in glory shine. Yet all are one within your great design. Alleluia, alleluia. Now, Allison, I'm glad you're here today because I'm going to pick on you today in my sermon. Allison and I have been having this ongoing debate about the adjective she used initially to describe our church to her friends after she and Victor first started attending here. We can't decide if what she called us was crazy or strange or peculiar or unconventional or just odd. And neither of us can really remember for sure, but you know, they all sort of captured the feel for what she was saying. Whatever adjective she used that day, I remember at first feeling a little defensive, to be honest with you, Allison. But then you quickly went on to explain what you meant by that. And what you meant by that was that you felt that we were different from other churches that you had attended because, as you put it, we didn't just talk the talk, we walked the walk. And oh, I remember thinking under my breath, that kind of odd, I guess that's okay then. In other words, what Allison had perceived and was trying to describe is that we're a congregation made up of saints and sinners. And not that, you know, if you sit in a particular section, you're saints, and if you sit in another particular section, you are the sinners. But rather that we are all a mixture of sainthood and sinnerhood here. We know that about ourselves, and we take that in stride. And we just keep on keeping on the best we can, supporting each other from week to week, doing what we can to welcome and love others in Christ's name. And today we celebrate the fact that we are bound together, the living and the dead, those who today feel infused with faith and tomorrow are filled with doubt. Those who have identified as cradle-to-grave believers, and those who are just now beginning to explore getting their faith feet under them. We together, this crazy, strange, peculiar, unconventional, odd, eclectic group that gathers here at the corner of Catherine and Mill Streets, are God's idea of a family. A family with purpose. A family with a calling. A family on a mission. God's agenda. A mission really more like a relay race than a sprint, more like a marathon than a dash. This is marathon season here in New York City, so that image is very real to us. We are, in fact, a communion of saints, that intimate unity we share through Christ with one another, including those who have finished their race. And as such, Christ, through the power of God's Holy Spirit within us, somehow creates community that becomes a new social reality with us and through us. In Jesus' sermon heard in our gospel reading this morning from Luke chapter 6, Jesus describes that community as odd. Its values do not match life experience. It doesn't match life experience in terms of who typically experiences happiness and how. Nor do they conform to the cold logic of cost-benefit analysis. Jesus calls the church to more, much more than that. Jesus calls the church to act differently and to see the world completely differently. Jesus calls us, each of us, to a new existence in which God generously benefits the lost, the lonely, and the last. And that generosity creates a culture formed and sustained not by our own reason or strength or efforts, but by the mercy of God. Woe to those who are missing opportunities to experience tangibly the giving and receiving of God's mercy. Now, last Tuesday evening, the finance committee of this church met at Linda's home, and we prayerfully considered how to budget for the mission of this church in the next calendar year. It's a long process. It involves many, many hours of work on Kurt's part to prepare the preliminary projections, the information that we need on revenues and expenditures over the past year, and then to try to begin that projection process for the coming year. And we began at 6:30 and we ended at 9. And we had figures for a proposed budget, which you all will receive a month prior to the annual meeting on January 19th. Because we literally review every single line item in that budget, painstakingly comparing it with figures from the prior year, and then factoring in any changes that we can imagine will affect that those line items for the coming year. We do this with revenue, we do this with expenditures, and in the process of budget building, we realize it's much more of an art than a science in many ways. And the bottom line does not usually add up. Not here. Our concrete revenues are less than our anticipated expenditures, and it's been there all 7 years that I've been your pastor here at First Lutheran. And yet, somehow, God provides, and we're still here today. We're still doing God's work with our hands, this odd little church with the new tie rods that will ensure that we have the potential, if God wills it, to be here for another 100 years. Oh, blessed communion, fellowship divine, we feebly struggle. I love that phrase. We feebly struggle. They in glory shine, yet all are one within your great design. Alleluia. Alleluia. We feebly struggle, don't we, Allison, chair of our property committee? See, I said I was going to pick on you today. We feebly struggle to maintain a 163-year-old building where you just sort of get one thing under control and the next thing starts crumbling. We feebly struggle to find the capacity to cover all the tasks that our hearts want to do in this neighborhood, to share the good news in word and in deed with those who are feebly struggling in a way far more significant than we are. We are feebly struggling in our lives of faith, in our personal lives at home, with people we relate to, people we are related to, for those of us that are in our fancy homes and those of us who are on the streets. As we sit in these pews and sing the hymns that have been sung in this space for the past 163 years, we also think about the saints who have gone before us, our loved ones, who maybe sat in these same pews. I know some of you are always sitting with the dead because your families sat here, your grandparents, your parents, and you wouldn't want to leave the pews that you remember sitting in with those loved ones. There are others of us for whom our loved ones never set foot in this church. And yet, every time we walk in and every time we worship, we carry them with us here in our hearts. We feebly struggle on while they in glory shine. That's what we sing out with every fiber of our body, every All Saints Sunday. All Saints Sunday is a heaviness we bear and also a lightness we share. We are bound together with each other as different as we may be. Just look around here. We are all of us, the living and the dead, the acquainted and yet to be introduced, part of this communion of saints that God dreamed up for us. Yet all are one within your great design, is the way the hymn writer put it. And the goal of that great design may be summed up as God's golden rule of love, which concludes our gospel reading for today. Not the last verse. Not that last verse that says, you know, fair is fair. Do unto others as they do unto you. If I'd had a children's sermon today, we probably would have illustrated that by, you know, Neil's punching me in the arm and me punching Neil's back. You know, fair is fair. That could have gotten out of hand, I realize. Carol wisely advised me against. But God's golden rule of love is that we love God and we love each other, even when others aren't loving towards us. As Jesus said from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It's taken me a lot of years to figure out not to get my back up, not to be defensive, not to preach, not to chide, not to try to make those people being mean to me understand that they have no right to be mean to me. But instead to pray, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This is not conventional wisdom. It is not conventional wisdom when Jesus says, blessed are you who are poor, hungry, weeping, who are excluded, who are reviled, and who are defamed. The Greek word that's been translated as blessed is really more accurately understood as being unburdened or satisfied. And the counterpart in our gospel, the Greek word translated as woe, does not mean cursed or unhappy, but rather it is meant as an attention getter, as though Jesus was really saying, look out! Yikes! Jesus is trying to get the attention of those whose budgets are unbalanced in favor of themselves, rather than more equitably shared with those in need around them. Jesus sees everything upside down. God's kingdom operates in a radically different way than the norm. We don't really understand that because we're still living in this world and we're behaving by this world's rules, but that isn't what Jesus was teaching us. Mary gets it. As a teenager, she gets it. She sings about it in that song she sings in the first chapter of Luke that we call the Magnificat. Jesus brings satisfaction and belonging to those who suffer poverty and those who are suffering powerlessness and disenfranchisement. The hallmark of the community that Jesus creates, this community of saints, is radical hospitality. The people who live in perpetual loss and grief and who have lost all hope will not be forgotten in God's kingdom. Rather, God promises them joy. How can that be? The communion of saints is an odd community as viewed from the perspectives of the world as we know it. And we, as the members of the communion of saints, are called to form a counterculture that is sustained by the mercy of God, just as we here at First Lutheran have been sustained by the mercy of God. It isn't that our budgets add up at the end of our budget planning process. We keep on going because God has something for us to do. And that's why at the end of the year, our budgets balance. Because of God's mercy in our lives as the communion of saints in this place. Yes, Allison, So you got it right from the beginning. We are an odd church because we belong to Christ's upside down community where sinners become saints. Amen.